I'm probably loud enough y'all could hear me anyway, but good morning. So great to see you all here at the Lighthouse. We're so happy you have come, and I believe and I'm proclaiming you're coming ready to worship. Amen? Amen? We are ready to get in and love Jesus and love each other because that's what it's all about. All right. It's so good to see you all today. I love to see the fellowship. Every service, before service, we have all these people talking to each other. And so what I want to challenge you is don't talk to the same people every week. How many of you are guilty of that? Raise your hand. Let's try to talk to somebody new, right? Right. If we're going to be a faith community, we need to be inviting so people can join the community because it is open to whosoever will, the Bible says. All right, a few announcements we want to let you know about. We are still collecting for love packages. That is any kind of Christian material. You can put it in the box in the back, and this week will be the last week for that. So if you have anything at home still, bring it by Wednesday, and that is going to be sent overseas to bless people who do not have access to Christian material. So that could be your Bibles. It could be books, but we want, I always get this confused, we want the real stuff. So that's nonfiction, right? Not false. Real stuff. So we don't want any fictional books, but any of your nonfictional books, Bibles, devotionals, we'll take all of those, even children materials. So we'll take all those and get those sent overseas. And the box is in the back for that. Also today, everyone say today. We have Steadfast, which is our nursing home ministry. They've changed the time to 1:30. To accommodate the nursing home. They've asked us to do that. And I just want to share about this ministry for a minute. As we used to do this years ago, and we had reached out to them and asked if we could come. This is skilled nursing and rehab headed towards Upper on 199. And they opened their doors, let us come once a month, and then COVID hit, and everything kind of shut down, so we stopped. Well, do you know that after COVID, they reached out to us, the nursing home. Reached out to the church and said, hey, can you come back and minister once a month to our residents? So praise the Lord. Yes. How many of you know when God gives you an open door, you don't wait. You walk through. But with that, we invite you all just to go because everyone can hug a neck, shake a hand, say we love you, say Jesus loves you, and that's what we need. You know, we have someone going to minister the word. We have people going to sing, but even if you don't do any of that, you can show up and just love on somebody. All right, so that's at 1:30. We do that once a month. Also want to let you know today we are taking in a few new members who have completed the membership class, and so we'll be doing that after worship, and we are excited about that. And if you do not have our church app on your phone, please see our media center. They can help you get that set up. We do a lot of announcements on our church app. You can share things from our church app. So make sure you get connected because we want to make sure you know what is going on so you can get involved with us. Amen? All right, and at this time, Brother Jesse is coming with our call to worship scripture. And I hope he doesn't have to call you too hard because I hope you're already ready, raring to go, ready to worship. As I'm looking at you, I have some doubts. But I believe you're just like raring to go on the inside. So let's worship.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here this morning. Amen. You know, on a Sunday morning, there's really no place I'd rather be. Amen. Most mornings, amen, I would like to get together with my brothers and sisters in praise and worship. And I was thinking the other day, I was at work just kind of having a rough day. I'm sure you've all been there. Doesn't matter what you're doing. But I just wanted to be in the presence of God because in his presence is fullness, amen, of joy. Amen. And sometimes the enemy wants to tell us that we don't want what God has to give us because it's going to cost us something. But that's a lie from the pits of hell because God has everything that we need. And the more we get of it, the more we're going to want of it. Amen? Scripture I have this morning, and I think Pastor Darius read this a few weeks ago, but that's okay because you're going to get it twice. Psalm 96 says this, "Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord." If you don't like to sing out loud, that's okay. right? How many singers do we have in here that you'll just go ahead and sing in the grocery store, wherever you're at? Wow. All right. Well, I'm not one of those people, so I can't really relate with all you that raised your hands. You most of the time will never see me singing anywhere but in my house. But that's okay. You can start singing this new song in your heart, right? You can start singing in your heart to God. Nobody else is going to know you're doing it. Okay? Start somewhere is what I'm saying. Yeah. Start somewhere. Start singing in your heart to God. Make melody unto him in your heart. And maybe God will make you so bold that you will start to sing out loud. Why do we do that? Because he inhabits the praises of his people, right? God wants to be close to us, and this is one way that we can do this. Verse 2 in Psalm 96, sing to the Lord, praise his name. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. And that is very important because we don't know what our neighbors may be facing. So if you're going through a rough time or if you're going through a good time, when someone comes up to you and gives you the good news of the gospel, reminds you of who Jesus is, that's a good thing, right? And you don't know how far your words can carry in someone else's life. We don't know. I still remember some words that someone has spoken into my heart. So I want to encourage you to speak this week what God is putting in your heart to share with someone else and begin to change their lives. Amen? Because the Word of God can do that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you would stand with me, we will pray, and I'll ask you to bring up your tithes and offerings. So, Heavenly Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, and we give you thanks, God, for everything that you've done. We come before you with thankful hearts. God, we just pray that you would bless these tithes and offerings and use them to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
I lean on you, Lord.
Providing The scripture, the Bible talked about God showing up. That when people called on his name, he showed up in magnificent ways. Fire came down out of heaven. Waters were parted. In the New Testament, the Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, it was like tongues of fire set upon each of them. When the disciples were persecuted and they prayed for more boldness, the Bible says the building shook where they were at. And we use a word called Shekinah glory. And if you've been saved for a long time, you've heard this word, Shekinah glory. How many of you heard this word before? It means that God shows up, that his presence does amazing things beyond human capability. Now, Shekinah isn't in the Bible. The word Shekinah isn't in the Bible. It is a rabbinical term, meaning God shows up. God does mighty things. How many of you want God to do mighty things? We need you, oh God. Would you say that with me this morning? Oh, God, we need you to show up. We need you to do what we cannot do. We're asking for Shekinah glory. Oh, Shekinah glory, fall. Oh, Father, show up in the building this morning. Show up in my car. Show up in my workplace. Show up with signs and wonders following those. Believe.
standing in your presence, Shekinah glory come down, Shekinah glory come down. Here we are, standing in your presence, here we are, standing in your presence, Shekinah glory come down.
Here we are, sing it again.
Standing in your presence, here we are, standing in your presence, Shekinah glory come down, Shekinah glory come down. Here we are, standing in your presence, here we are, standing in your
Spirit speak through you this morning. call on his name. Thank you.
be clean and this heart be pure. Blameless as the bride you're coming for. And it's the power of your presence that changes us, your glory all around us. And we're undone, you open up the heavens and fall afresh on us. And it's the
stay right here, right now. I want you to take a good look at what you're singing. Now, we've come to God in prayer through song this morning, asking for Him to reveal Himself to us in a new way. And sometimes we think we need more of something when really, the truth is we have everything we need. I mean, do you need more of Jesus? Yes. But do we need anything else besides Jesus? No. So if you already have Jesus, you already have what you need. But yet there's still this thing in us that wants more of what we already have, which is Jesus. It's the contradiction that stirs within our soul, right? Why is that? Well, it's because we're in a relationship with Him. And when you're in a relationship with someone, there's a longing for you to be with that person, right? You want to be in their presence. You want to spend time with them. And so that prayer this morning was just you basically letting God know as we were singing, hey, I need you and I want you. I want to be with you in your presence today. But I want you to put those words back up to the chorus there. I want you to see what we were just singing. Because God's doing some intimate stuff right here. I don't know them by heart, so I need you to put them up there for me, please. The chorus that we were just singing. It's the power of your presence. Remember, we were asking for His presence. And then we're saying it's the power of that presence that changes us. It changes us. That's why there's a longing in your soul for it. Changes you. It's His glory, not ours. It's His glory that comes all around us that, man, we just open ourselves up. We become undone. That's what that means. We expose our hearts to God because now we're in His presence. And then as we expose our hearts and our souls, what's inside of us to God, then He opens up the heavens. What He has reveals Himself to us as we reveal ourselves to Him. And then heaven just comes fresh on us again. It's like a newness. It's like all of a sudden this embrace happens, right? They say that it's actually a healthy thing to hug people. Releases endorphins and serotonin and all these fancy hormone word things that I don't even know anything about. It's an embrace, right? That makes us healthy. How much more is it healthy for us when God embraces us? We come into a moment with Him and He changes us. That's what I love about it. It's not a one-time deal, right? How many of you have been saved for 5 years? Raise your hand. You've been walking with Jesus for 5 years. How many of you still need that embrace? All right, 10 years. Raise your hand if you've been saved for 10 years. How many of you still need that embrace, right? Well, about 20 years. Who's known Jesus for 20 years, personal relationship? How many of you still need that embrace? Let's jump. How many of you, 50 years? I'm not even 50 years old. 50 years. Come on, raise your hand high. That's something to be proud of. You've been walking with Jesus for 50 years. Yeah. Don't you still need that embrace? Don't you still long? Oh, God. I need you, God. Then we're saying it's the power of your presence that changes me. It's your glory all around me. And as that happens, I could be standing in a public setting right now like I am. But I don't care about anybody around me. I don't even realize there's anybody standing beside me. I'm in a moment with God, just me and Him. And I'm in His glory. And it's like I'm in this private place because He's covered me in His glory. And now all of a sudden, everything that's within me is exposed to Him. And literally, in the spiritual sense, not the physical sense, you're standing before God naked. You're undone. And He doesn't go, "Oh my word, help us, Lord Jesus." No, He goes, "This is my beautiful people. And now that you've been willing to show me what's inside of you," even though sometimes, I don't know about you, but some weeks I come here and it's not pretty what I'm showing God. I mean, it can be pretty ugly what's in my heart. Guess I'm the only one. And as I expose that to God, God doesn't go, "Really? Again, Joe?" No, what's the word say? Then He opens the heavens. He opens the heavens, falls all over again, falls anew on me, and He transforms and changes me in His presence. And that junk that I was carrying, all of a sudden it just starts coming out, and His goodness comes in. Junk comes out and His goodness comes in, and I'm purified and I'm renewed and I'm refreshed when I come into His presence. It's the power of His presence. So I'm taking a minute to exhort to you, because some of you don't know what's happening in your life right now, but that's what's happening. It's an intimate moment with God, just you and Him. There's people in this building right now praying for you, interceding for you, that you would receive this from Him. So we're going to sing this again. I want you to go into the bridge, the Holy Spirit part, after we sing this chorus twice. We're going to sing it two times. And then I want to go back into the bridge, and I want you to hear that. And I want you to understand what you're saying to God. Sometimes we just get in a habit, right? We come to church and we sing songs, and even us super spiritual people, we know how to raise our hands, close our eyes. "Oh, yes, Jesus." Are we really thinking about what we're saying, or are we just going through the motions? Let's hit the brakes this morning. Let's really think about what we're saying to God. It's your power. It's your power that's of your presence that changes me. I need a change this morning. I need to be transformed. Oh, yeah, I'm saved. I've been saved for a long time. That doesn't matter. I still need changed by you, God. I want more of you. What God started last Sunday, He's just perpetuating this Sunday. Let's just keep flowing in that sacred rain. And as we sing this, let Him change us. Expose your heart. Even if you got to tell God about some stuff to make sure He knows. Right? Make sure He knows this morning what you've been carrying. so he can heal you of that delivery. Because I'm telling you, this is, we've had some people responding to the presence of God, but I just want to let you know, that's just first altar call, because this morning we're going to have two. What God's doing right now is preparing you for the second altar call. So we're going to sing this again. Then we're going to move on and do some things in service we need to do. Holy Spirit's not going to leave. He's not going to be offended. He's not going to be grieved by that. Then there's going to be the ministering of the word. And it's the word that's going to build your faith to see that transforming power come into your life. So let's sing this two times, and let's sing that bridge once, and then come back and sing this one more time. All right? This is what I feel the Holy Spirit telling me to do.
And it's the power of your presence that changes us.
Your prayer can be refilled over and over again.
Holy Spirit, burn like fire within.
Fire is a sign of purity and power. By His power, He's purifying us this morning. Sing that part again.
Holy Spirit, fill this heart.
Father, you have seen our praise and worship unto you this morning. God, I pray that this would become our lifestyle, not just a moment that we decide to do on a Sunday morning, but our lives would be worship unto you. That our mouths, our hearts, our hands, our actions would give you praise and glory in all that we're doing. Our lives, let it all be done unto you for your glory, God. But as we're in this special moment, God, we just thank you. We thank you for this season of sacred rain. We thank you, Lord, that you're purifying us. We have come and we've repented to you last week, and God, I'll repent again and again and again and again. I just keep turning back to you, God, over and over again, because I want to walk with you. And I thank you for your holy fire. It's purifying our hearts and our minds, making us new once again, and renewing us and regenerating us, Lord, over and over again. We thank you for that this morning. My Father, you see the souls that are here, the mind, the will, the emotions that people are carrying with them. God, I thank you that you're the healer of those souls. You're the deliverer of those souls, Lord. I thank you that you're doing that work this morning in hearts and lives. You see the burdens that some of us are carrying for others. God, we release them to you right now. We place these people in your hands. God, it can be hard because we love them so dearly. God, we just release them to you right now. God, we know that you are God Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, and you're everywhere, and you can do what we cannot do. So we release these people that we have burden for to you, Lord. We thank you that you're going to deal with them, you're going to rescue them, you're going to move in their lives, Lord Jesus. We give you the glory for that. God, I thank you for everybody that's here, that the body is being healed, Lord. You're healing bodies, Lord Jesus. Physical ailments, Lord, that's what you want to do. And so those people who are carrying petitions for physical healing, Lord, we offer them up to you right now with praise and according to your word in faith. We thank you, Lord, that we're seeing healing happen in our lives because you were whipped on your back, is what the Bible says, for our healing. And we receive that healing by faith. I thank you, Lord, that your precious blood covers us. So God, I thank you for the healing of the spirit, the awakening of the spirit. And as that happens, it's the saving of the soul. So God, we thank you that you're healing every aspect of us and you're making us whole this morning. This is what you want to do, Lord, and we just stand in awe of you. We stand in awe of you in your presence, God. Thank you for making yourself real to us this day, Lord. God, you see not only our petitions and requests for our families, our friends, but God, you see them for our nation, for the world around us, our society, and the time that we're living in, God. Lord, I pray that you would move through your church and help us to begin to reach people so that we can see a transformation of our world where hearts and minds will come back and turn to you, God. Let us turn to you, God. Let us walk in your peace and your love, Lord Jesus. In a time where hate and turmoil are running rampant, let us be the bearers of love and peace. True love and true peace. God, I thank you for what you're doing this morning. I thank you that you hear our hearts cry and you're answering these prayers. God, we give you the glory. Because we know that we're going to see it done. We're going to see it done because we stand in faith right now. So we release these things to you as we open our hearts before you. As we open our souls before you, we release these things to you, God. And we receive your presence and your power. And heaven is coming to us on earth right now. Regenerating us, Lord. You're regenerating us, Lord. Rejuvenation. I heard you say that, Holy Spirit. Rejuvenation into our lives right now from heaven. We receive it, God. We thank you for changing us, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Open your mouth and just begin to give him praise. Such a sweet moment you had with him. Yes. He loves to hear your voice. God loves to hear your voice. He can hear us all at the same time. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus.
Holy Spirit, fill this heart again.
We thank you for filling our hearts, Lord.
Holy Spirit.
thank you that you've done this. You've started this burning in us, Lord. Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, fill this heart again.
Thank you that you're filling hearts again, God. Hallelujah. Refilling of your Spirit. Hallelujah. Fresh on us this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to do something right now that's actually very spiritual. And some of you don't think that it is. But we're going to do this because it's what God wants to do right now. And we're going to acknowledge new members of our church. And I always put this out here because I don't want anyone ever to feel excluded. If you come and attend this church service on a regular basis, you call this your home church, then you're part of us, you're a member of us. But we do have formal, it's the way we say formal membership. We do take that, receive people to become formal members of our church. And they just want to publicly acknowledge that this is where God's placed them. They're supposed to be here, part of this church, working in this church, and doing things in the kingdom of God in this church. And so we always want to acknowledge that when people are joining. And so we're going to do that this morning. But I always say this, the most important thing is that you join the Church of Jesus Christ. That you're a member of His church, His body, and you're working with Him. But we are grateful for those who say this is their home church. And this is where God has placed them. And so we want to acknowledge them this morning and take membership. So we're going to ask you who came to that membership class and meeting and have decided you're going to join the church to come forward right now. And we want to make commitments to you and just work together as the body of believers. Yeah, give them a hand. Grateful for all the people who work in the kingdom of God and work alongside of us. And as we have our theme, Building a Faith Community, it's important that we have people who say, yes, I'm committed to this local body and I'm going to help govern this local body. I'm going to help do what God wants to be done in this place. And isn't that our hearts? Isn't that our hearts? And so the first thing we want to do for you this morning is just read our commitment coming from your pastors and from the church governing body. We want to read our commitment to you. Sometimes, you know, people do these things and they have new members make pledges to the church, but the church never says anything to them. Let me just say this for a minute. Make sure I'm really clear. Everyone's listening. You're not half listening right now, are you? Because if you half listen right now, you may mishear something and you'll leave this place and you think, did Pastor Joe really say that? No, that's not what I said. Listen closely, okay? There are some churches that will take your membership and put you on a roll, and then if you don't show up, send you a bill because you haven't paid your tithe. You haven't been there. There's churches that do that. This church will never do that. Okay? We're just not that way. What happens is the church gets focused on what people are giving to it. So that's why we start this saying, this is what we extend to you as your church, right? It's important. Can I get an amen? All right, we're still being spiritual.
And I want to share that we've mentioned this before, but we're going to continue to mention we are working on care groups. Mm-hmm. And so when we get that implemented and you start getting a phone call from someone just checking on you, just loving on you, don't get mad.
Yeah.
Don't avoid their phone calls because this is us being committed to you. We want to know how you are doing physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. We want to know what's going on in your life, how we can pray for you. When you're sick in the hospital, the church wants to know so someone can visit you. It doesn't have to be the pastors, amen?
Right.
But the body, the church, is committing to you. And this is what we feel God has led us to do that better than we've ever done it before. Because I feel like we've read these commitments before, and our heart was in the right place, but we couldn't always follow through. And so God said, put a group of people that are going to follow up with individuals. And so when you hear that happening, go back to this moment and remember, this is the church committing to me.
Yeah.
We value each and every one of you, and we are committed to you.
Amen. Amen. So first off, we pledge to be your family, to support you, to love you, to care for you, and give you nourishment and to you both spiritually and physically, and to offer fellowship.
When you rejoice, we will rejoice. And when you weep, we will weep, especially me, because I am a crier. So if you need someone to cry with you, come find me. When you suffer, we suffer. And when you are honored, we are honored.
For we are one body, and we have been put together as it has pleased our Father. Amen.
And I just want to reiterate, this is not Pastor Joe and my commitment to you. This is the Lighthouse Church's commitment to you.
So we ask you these questions, and if you agree to them, just answer, I do. Do you publicly confess your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and in so doing, pardoned you from all your sins?
Do you believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God and declare that by the help of the Holy Spirit, you will live to uphold its doctrines and teachings? If so, answer, you do.
Are you willing to be subject to the counsel and admonition of those who are over you in the Lord?
Are you willing to support this church with your attendance, tithe, and labor in the Lord with the best of your ability as he prospers you?
The Bible says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That is the church. That is what we are. Amen.
I wanted to share one more thing before we move on. And again, I want to reiterate, we don't just consider you part of us if you accept formal membership.
That's right.
If you come to this place and feel called to this body, we consider you a part of this body. Amen?
Amen.
And this week in my devotional, I talked about kairos, time with God, which in our time, it's about minutes and seconds and days and years, and we schedule everything. But that's not how God's time works. And so kairos is a Greek word that means it's God's appointed moment with you. And so we expect every person who calls himself part of this family that you are seeking and looking for kairos moments with God, not just on a Sunday morning, not just on a Wednesday night, but that you are growing in your relationship with him each and every day, because that is what changes you. It's not just a sermon that's going to affect your life. It's not just a song, but it is your encounter with the Lord of Lords. Those kairos moments.
Yes.
And I was thinking of Adam and Eve, who it said God walked with them daily. He came down and had a moment with them. And church, I believe God is still wanting that with each and every one of us. Amen. Moments with him that will transform us.
Amen. If I could have our executive team come up and the board come up with them, we want to lay hands on these people and just bless them. You know, the greatest thing we can do for one another is pray for each other and point each other to Jesus, right? And we believe that that's part of us offering fellowship to you as your church. And we're honored, I'm going to say that, as your pastors. We are honored, and as this church, representing this church, I want to say we're honored that you would be called. We believe you would be called to come and join us and work in the kingdom as co-laborers. And so that's just how we see life. Amen. We just want to lay hands on you and pray blessing upon you and just thank God for sending you here. Father, just lay hands on him. Father, we just thank you right now for the people of God that you have placed among us. We just declare blessing upon their lives. We thank you for fellowship one with another as we have fellowship with you. We walk in your light, Lord. And God, I thank you for the gifts and the talents that you've bestowed upon these people of God that they can now join alongside of us to build your kingdom. And God, I know it's for your glory that it will shine through them, Lord, and that these gifts will come forth, Lord Jesus, and they will minister to hearts and lives. Souls will be transformed through them, God. We thank you that you've given us people to love, to cherish, and to walk this life with, Lord. And God, we just pray blessing upon their households right now, their families, their bodies, their souls, their spirits. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless you. Love you. Appreciate you. God bless you, brother. Love you. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
God bless you, sister. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Betty, let's sing that old song, I'm So Glad I'm a Part of the Family of God, as they finish up here. Cleansed by his blood, join us with Jesus as we travel his arms of the family of God. Sing it one more time. And I'm a part of the family of God. Washed by his blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel. I'm part of the family of God. If you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and you've made him your Lord and Savior, you're part of his family. Isn't that wonderful? And we have family members because we're such a big family that extend across the face of this world, right, the earth. We don't necessarily know them, but we know them. How many ever been there before, right? You're talking to somebody, you met them for the first time, and you're talking with them, and then all of a sudden you're like, there's a connection here. The Spirit of God is present in our midst. And we are Christians. We are part of the family of God. What a beautiful thing to be a part of. Amen. Contrary to what some people will say, this is the biggest, fastest, most powerful movement in the world. And we have the greatest, most powerful leader that has ever existed, God Himself. Amen. Isn't it great to come to church and just be with one another? Can we give God some praise this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's still stirring in here, and I want to move along quickly, so we're going to go ahead and dismiss students to go to their classes. If it's your first time, we do offer classes for the students. There is a nursery for your babies. There's a preschool age class. Then we have our firehouse kids this morning. Is it age 6 to 12 for firehouse kids? And then our teen classes this morning. And we want to make that available to your children because we want to minister to them. Those of you that are staying in here, I want to encourage you to stay connected to the Holy Spirit and what He's doing, because I believe that when we're done ministering this morning, like I said, there's going to be 2 altar calls, and I believe that God really wants to not just expose some things in your life, but He wants to heal them. He wants to do a work. And sometimes we have a moment in a gathering together where God begins to show us. He reveals things to us. And then later on, there's another moment where now that He's shown us that, He wants to do something about it. We have a bad habit in the church world of being thankful that God has moved and revealed something to us, and we want to just let that be and go, cool, God showed me something this morning. Now we're done. No, we're not done. We're not done. Everybody say, we're not done. And what God's going to do this morning, He's going to create an extension of that for the rest of this week. And I don't know why I'm going to say this, except for just I hear the Holy Spirit giving me instruction to tell you this. But if some of you, if you become, and I'm just going to say as I heard it, if you become weepy this week, if you don't know what that means, it just means you like cry real easy, you just always have tears. Don't think that to be something strange. But the presence of God is falling on you this morning, and you're going to carry something. This is a word from the Lord right now. You're going to carry something on you that is so powerful, it's going to come out through your emotions at times, and there's going to be moments where you don't understand why you're even weeping, but you're going to be weeping because it's the presence of God. And really, it's because He's doing a work in you. And as human beings, we make this huge mistake. We look for moments of time and miss the journey of time. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? We think everything is leading up to the next big event. We think everything is pointing towards another moment. And yes, we have Kairos moments like Pastor Alicia was talking, and I am always asking God for Kairos moments, right? Appointed times where God does something. But when I have those, I've learned throughout the years to then look back and not just celebrate the moment, but celebrate the journey that got me to that moment. And then enjoy the journey that I'm on right now until I step into my next moment. And so some of you, this is a moment, and you're going to go, man, like last week, man, church was good, wasn't it? And this week, church was good. But don't just celebrate the moment. Walk with God. How amazing is that? Think about that for a minute. That just wrecks me. That I can walk with God. Me. I don't deserve to do that. But God chose us, every one of us, to walk with God, to keep in step with Him, to live our life and go through a journey of life with Him, not without Him. Not just meeting up with Him at certain moments of a day or certain times of the year or on a Sunday morning. No, every day I get to walk with God. And so some of you, what God's doing right now is He's coming on you in a heavy presence, and it's a beautiful thing, and I'm just giving you that word of knowledge to warn you, don't think it's strange. And if you just, I mean, maybe you're watching some weird commercial and you just start crying and you don't know why you're like, why am I crying when I watch this commercial? This weird commercial came on. And I just start, maybe it's the Gecko Geico that you're, and all of a sudden you just start crying and you're like, what's the matter with me, right? I don't know if you've ever had moments like that, but I have, and I'm not a crier. I'm not like Alicia. I'm not a crier. All of a sudden, the presence of God just manifested in my life in another real way. And then I ask God, okay, and I see, God, you're doing something in me right now. It has nothing to do with what I'm doing right now. Nothing to do with the gecko that I'm watching on the screen. It's what you're doing inside of me, and I'm living life with you. And that's what God's doing this morning. And when we come to the end of this message, I believe some of you are going to have a Kairos moment where this falls on you and you walk throughout this week. And maybe it manifests differently in your life. I don't know. I just know that the Holy Spirit told me to tell some of you, you're going to be weepy this week and it's okay. And if people notice, tell them why. Don't be like, oh, no, I'm allergies, you know, allergy system is, you know, season is. No, tell them why. God did something in me on Sunday. His presence has just been in my life. He's doing a work on me and just makes me cry sometimes. They may look at you weird, but they're going to remember what you just said. And what's going to happen is they're going to go secretly, man, I want that. I want that. And your witness will begin to do an impact in their life more than just your words. Can I get an amen? So this morning I want to move into this thought. We're going to start this series called Wholeness. Everyone say wholeness. Wholeness. And we have coined the term in our generation, wellness. People talk about wellness a lot, and I didn't feel like we needed to call the series this because I wanted to kind of separate ourselves from what that word has turned into in our generation. Wellness is connected to all kinds of craziness, and some of it's not bad, but some of it is bad and has nothing to do with God at all. But God wants us to be whole people. And sometimes we can disassociate things in our mind as human beings, and we make church stuff about church stuff, work stuff about work stuff about family stuff, and then we begin to lose the connection. And what can happen very easily then is internally, there are three parts to us, body, soul, spirit. And we can become disconnected internally inside of ourselves on how we're approaching the different areas of our life. And before we know it, we're leaving God out of certain aspects and things that we do. We're leaving God out of it. We're not taking God with us because we think, well, this is a physical, bodily thing I'm doing. So it's just what I'm doing. This is something that is connected over here and it's not part of my life here. And then what happens to us is we become unwhole. Our lives are segmented and we feel scattered. How many of you, and raise your hand, I'll raise both hands just so you don't feel left out. How many of you have ever felt like your body, your life, not your body, but your life is just kind of scrambled up. Like there's pieces here and there and everywhere. Yeah. You're not whole. And God wants to make us whole. And sometimes we come to a church service and we think, oh man, you know, I'm not feeling well today in my body, so I need Jesus to heal me. So we come to God and we ask in the name of Jesus to be healed. And we think all we need is a bodily, physical work in us. When really, God's going, no, you're all over the place. I want to make you whole. Sometimes we think it's just a soulish thing. It's something in our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And so we're asking God to heal something in that. And God's going, no, it's much bigger than that. You're all scattered all over the place. I want to make you whole. And so we're going to do a series about this and try to help us come together and understand ourselves a little bit better, but also what God wants to do in our lives. And so I want to kick off just this thought this morning with you as kind of an introductory message. And then the next 3 weeks, actually, I think we have a guest speaker, Brother Wagers, is going to be here in one of those weeks. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be dealing with our body and our soul and our spirit and how we relate to God in all three of them. But this morning, I want to focus on just the whole idea, the main idea. And so let me just, of wholeness, and let me just say this to you. So our body is how we relate to our environment. You can see this. I don't know if you can read it up there or not. Our soul is how we relate to others. And our spirit's how we relate to God. And God wants to infiltrate not just our spirit, but be a part of our soul and body, because God wants to be a part of how we relate to others and how we relate to our environment. And when that begins to take place, we become whole. Does that make sense? I'm going to do some quick teaching here and say, well, how do you know this to be true? How do you know that we're separated like this and we have three parts to us? Well, first of all, the Bible says, and this isn't in the notes, but let me just reference this. The Bible says in Genesis that we were made in his likeness and image. Likeness and image. And sometimes I think that we think the writers were just trying to be good writers, so they used synonyms and they used different writing techniques to get the message across. So we ignore things, but God said in his likeness and his image. So not only are we image bearers of God, we are likeness bearers of God. And if we serve a God that is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, with me, then we are also in his likeness, body, soul, spirit. You following me? So not only are we in the image of God and we represent a God-like being in the earth, it's not that we're gods, that's not what I'm saying, but we represent an imagery of God. He has given us dominion and power over things of this earth so that when we see humanity, we see the image of God. We also see the likeness of God because there's three parts to him and there's three parts to us. So, well, how do you know this? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians here. Chapter 5, verse 23. And this is a prayer, but it also gives us some information. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Everybody say completely. And may your whole, everybody say whole, spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit and soul and body. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Thessalonica when he penned these words under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And because it was under the Holy Spirit's direction and it helps us understand aspects on how we connect to God, we have it in what we call the canon of Scripture. It helps us reveal Jesus Christ to us and how we connect to him. And he says the God of peace, which we know is Jesus Christ, on earth, peace at his birth, right? And on earth, peace comes. So he's the God of peace, and he's wanting us to be sanctified or set apart for him completely or wholly in all of our wholeness. We can't just be spiritually connected to God. We can't just have our souls connected to him, and we can't just have our bodies connected to him. It must be spirit and soul and body. Can I get an amen? All right, you're all staring at me. I believe it's just because you're taking this in. And we are now then kept blameless. Think about that word for a minute. There's no shame or blame on us. That's going to come a little bit later today. Until the coming or the return of Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit is doing a work in us as we come together and are joined to God himself, but it's not just spiritually. And this is where the charismatic Pentecostal church world has missed it. We get so focused on the spiritual side of things that we forgot about two aspects of who we are. There are other churches that they've become so focused on the body that they've forgotten the other two aspects. There are other churches that have gotten so focused on the soul that they've forgotten the two other aspects. And what we have done about all of this in our humanity is we've created denominations. And we proudly wear a badge that says, we're the spiritual people. While the other people over there proudly wear the badge, well, we're the people that are all about the soul. While the third party says, yeah, but you guys are missing it. You have to be about the physical body because we live in the physical world and we have to do that. And all three of us are right while all three of us are wrong. Let me say this to you. Because you live in an earthly body, you should have religious activities you do. You should have good habits that you follow that help your soul connect to God through your spirit. But when it becomes all about the activities, you leave out your soul and spirit. When it comes about all becomes all about the soul, now we're just doing self-help. We want people to feel better about themselves. And we want people to be winning in life and living their best life. And we forgot about the spirit. And we forgot that we're supposed to have activities that we do in our physical body. And then we have the spiritual side where everybody's just becomes, and I can say this because I'm one of them. I'm Pentecostal, charismatic, whatever. I'm like dyed in the wool. Y'all don't even know that expression, do you? Some of you heard that old time expression, haven't you? You heard that. I'm dyed in the wool, Pentecostal, brother. Yeah. Means it ain't coming out of me. It's in me, right? And I've seen people and been one of these people who are so spiritually focused that I'll come to a church service and I'll have myself a time in the Holy Spirit running around, praising God, speaking in tongues, spitting on people while I preach, sweating up a storm, having a ball in life, and walk out the church building and act like the world, got a tongue longer than a snake, talk about people, gossip on people, be mean to people, because I forgot about the soul part of my life and about their soul, and treat people terrible. It's all wrong. We have to be whole people, body, soul, spirit. And the prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed over the church, and it's not just for the church in Thessalonica, it's for us because it's in the canon of our scripture, is that we would be sanctified. Yeah. Yeah. Woo! That's another old time word. I like that one. We would be sanctified, not just our spirits sanctified, and not even just our bodies sanctified. Well, brother, bless God, I don't let anybody see my ankles. I'm holy and sanctified. No, our souls be sanctified too. That we would have thoughts like God has thoughts in our mind. That we would have feelings like God has feelings in Him. That our wills would be aligned with the will of God. Not our own will, not our own desire. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If the church world could have kept all this in check, we probably wouldn't have denominations. I'm going to tell you something right now, and I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but denominations are not of God. They're not. God has one church. And there are people across all the denominations of the churches in this world that are part of His church. Because they fell in love with Jesus. And they have a relationship with Jesus. And they walk with Jesus and talk with Jesus. And Jesus talks to them. They have a relationship, and because they have that relationship, they are part of the body of Christ. Yeah. And they have been sanctified, wholly sanctified, not H-O-W-H-O-L-E-L-L-Y, holy, body, soul, and spirit, been set aside and now are a part of the kingdom of God. Yeah. And this is what God wants to do in us. So, well, how do you know this? How do you know that this is what God wants to do besides just this prayer that we have in Scripture? How do we know this? Well, let's go to what Jesus did while He was here. And I want to talk about some of these things. First, let me just define wholeness to you, okay? And then we're going to talk about real quickly what Jesus Christ did while He was walking the face of the earth and how He dealt with individuals in their kairos moment. The moment that God had ordained for them to come and meet Jesus. And I'll show you how I know that this is the will of God through the actions of God Himself while He was on the earth. But first, let's just define wholeness for you. It is the state of forming a complete and harmonious whole. It's actually unity. And so there's two things that God wants you to understand this morning that I've already begun to hit on. Is that God wants unity in your individual life just as much as He wants unity in the whole body of Christ, one with another. And just as He much wants unity in the whole body of Christ, one with another, He wants unity in your individual life for all three parts of who you are. They should be working and functioning together. He wants you to be whole. The second part of the definition is this. It's the state of being unbroken or undamaged. And I'm reading that to you on purpose because there's some of you that think, well, you know, all I know how to do is come to God broken. Good. That's how you approach God. But when you leave God, don't leave broken anymore. Leave whole. Unbroken and undamaged. Yes, we come to God broken. With a broken and contrite spirit, we come before Him. We submit our lives to Him. But when I leave, hallelujah, I'm not leaving the same way I came. His power and presence has changed me. And that which was broken inside of me has been made whole once again. So wholeness is the state of unbrokenness or undamaged. You are not damaged goods this morning. Me and you, we got it. And then it rubbed off on your wife. We are not damaged goods this morning.
Amen.
Yeah. That's not who we are. There's people who have tried to tell you that that's what you are. There's people who tried to tell you, well, they're just broke. I'm not broke physically. I'm not broke mentally. I don't have a broken heart. No, I don't. I'm not broke in the bank. We say, Pastor, you ain't seen my check ledger. It's okay, you're not broke. You're not broke. And I'm not broken spiritually. Why is that? Because I have been in the presence of God today. And He has changed me. And He has made me whole. And if I came in here with a broken heart, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord was upon Him and has anointed Him to heal the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. To set free those who have been bruised and beat up. I don't have broken bones in my body. My eyes aren't broken anymore. Why? Because He has been sent to open up the blinded eyes. This is why the Spirit of God was upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's why He rests upon His church as we come together and function as the body of Christ. Those who are broken, those who are beat up, those who have broken hearts are made whole.
Amen.
So it's not that we're ignoring that these things happen. That's what sometimes the super spiritual people want to do, and everything's the devil. No, some things are soulish. Some people walk in your life with a broken heart, and they need their heart healed. Has nothing to do with a spiritual thing at all. It's their heart, and God wants to make them whole. So I got to move along because God wants to do something, and I just got to lay this out. I want you to show this picture up here that I put, wholeness. And there's a quote from Jesus Christ, and He says it several times in the Bible. He says, "Thy faith has made thee whole." Now, I'm using the old King James Version on purpose here. Thy faith has made thee whole. And I'm doing that because I like the expression of how it was translated. See, some translations say your faith has made you whole or well. And there are some gospels that are speaking of the same situation, and it says this, your faith has saved you. So we have first a lady that had an issue of blood. She had a flow of her blood. I believe the Bible says for 12 years it flowed straight. And this is the expression that Jesus gives her. Your faith has made you whole. Then there's another guy that used to be blind, and because he was blind, he couldn't get a job, and he had to beg for money. And Jesus comes walking alongside the road that he was begging for money. He cries out to Jesus, and this is what Jesus says to him. Your faith has made you whole. Two different people. Let me give you a third example for those of you that are skeptics in the building this morning. There were lepers, 10 of them, who cried out from a ways off to Jesus that they wanted to be healed of their leprosy. And Jesus creates this big production, makes the earth shake and the lightning flash. No. No. Jesus doesn't even touch these people. He just says, listen, is that what you want? Okay. Go on your way, show yourself to the priest. You'll be clean. And the Bible says, as they went. That means sometimes we just got to obey what the Lord says. Before we see anything happen. Come on. That's good preaching, Pastor Joe. That's for me. Just shut up and do it, Joe. I wasn't telling you that. I was telling me that. As they went, They were healed. That's what the Bible says. They were healed. But one of them was like, oh my goodness. He turned around. He went back to Jesus. Kneels before him. And then Jesus makes this very same statement to him. Your faith has made you whole. Now, in every instance, people were looking for a healing. The lady that had the issue of blood, the flow of the blood, she wanted it to stop. So much so, she went and seen every doctor she could get a hold of, took every form of medicine. It just wouldn't stop. She tried and tried and tried. And then she's like, you know what? I'm so desperate. I'm going to even break the laws of the day. And I'm going to push my way through. And I know that if I can just touch him. It ain't even got to be his shoulder. It ain't even got to be his body. He's just so anointed. It's in the fabric of the clothes he wears. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. Now we get excited about that, right? Hallelujah, the healing power of Jesus. That's wonderful. But that virtue left his body and he felt the healing power come from him. And Jesus, not the woman, Jesus was not satisfied with just that. Whoa, who touched me?
Yes, he did.
Peter's like, are you kidding me?
Yes.
We got a crowd around, everybody's touching you.
Yes.
No, this touch was different.
Yes.
This touch came from somebody who was desperate. This touch came from somebody that knew they needed to get a hold of me. Something left me. Oh, how many ever prayed that prayer before where you knew I got to get a hold of God? If I don't get a hold of God, ain't nothing going to happen. And I'm not leaving until I touch him.
Yeah.
Something left me when this person touched me. This was different. When this person touched me. And I'm not going to just leave this go. It wasn't just because, oh, I felt something. Ooh, goosebumps. No. There was something that was unfinished. You catch this? There was something that was unfinished about the situation. See, the Bible says immediately the flow of blood stopped. She was healed. But he wasn't going to stop there. There needed something else to be done. What was it? You see, this lady, although she wasn't bleeding anymore, was still marked by society as broken, as no account, as no good. And no one knew that she had been healed in her body yet. And God was going to make sure that everybody knew she was not only healed in her body, but that she was also made whole. And you don't carry the stigma of who you used to be anymore. You can't even be accused of the unclean touching the clean anymore, because you have been now made clean. And they cannot prosecute you because I have made you whole. So she just didn't have the full of her blood healed. She had her life healed. Then we have the man who used to be blind. Some of you refer to him as blind Bartimaeus. If I was Bartimaeus, I would take offense to that. And I would come meet you on the golden streets of heaven and say, hey, by the way, I'm not blind anymore.
Amen.
All your life you called me blind, Bartimaeus. I'm not blind anymore. I've been seeing for a long time. Right? See what we do as a society? We mark people with the negativity. Well, you know that one over there? Let's just point up here where nobody is. You know that one over there? They're a drug addict. And that one there, they have anxiety. This one over there, they're depressed. That one over there, they're an adulterer, fornicator. This one's a liar. Don't listen to anything they have to say. It ain't the truth. Isn't that what we do? We label people.
And he got so desperate that he broke the rules too. Quiet down. The Lord doesn't want to be bothered with you. You're a down and out beggar. Jesus! Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Sometimes we just got to get so stubborn spiritually that it connects to our soul, and we don't care what anybody says. Some, every once in a while, there's just a holy fervor that comes on me, and I don't care what anybody tells me God, what God can't do. I'm going to tell him what God can do. And he wouldn't shut up. He kept yelling, 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 yelling. Finally, Jesus is like, who's yelling for me? What's going on? Bring him here. Bring him to me. And he heals him. But he didn't just open his eyes. He opened his heart. He opened his soul. And he says, your faith has made you whole. How do we know that? Well, he wanted to go and follow Jesus. I'm going to be your disciple now. I'm a follower of you. You just didn't heal my eyes. You healed my life. And he says, I know that's what you want to do, but you can do a greater work if you just stay here and tell everybody that the power of God has healed you. And we have the third story this morning. I'm trying to go quickly. I can just, if you haven't noticed anything about me, is I can preach scripture. And it's not because of me. It's because God gifted me to do that. And I would just go on and on and on and on and on. And as my grandpa used to say, it doesn't have to be eternal to be immortal. So I'm trying to go quickly here. The last story we have, the last event that happened, there was 10 people who were healed, but there was only one that was made whole. This is a good lesson for the church. 10 people who were healed, but only one made whole. You see, 9 of them were good enough with receiving the healing. I'm good. Look at that. No more leprosy. I'm going to go show myself to the priest, go on my way, live my life the way I want to been living it. Haven't been able to because I've had this disease on me for so long. But there was one that said, oh, no. There's something about this. It's better than just getting my skin cleared up. What is this? I must go back and give gratitude and be thankful to the one who has done this for me. And in doing so, he returns and worships Jesus. Jesus asks where the other 9 are. That tells me that he expected all of them to be made whole, not just be healed. And you know what's so interesting about this story? The one that returned, that was one of those dirty, rotten scoundrel people, the Samaritan people. Oh, I can't believe Jesus would even talk to those people. Right? That's how they were treated. It was the Samaritan that came back and thanked him. And Jesus looks at the Samaritan. Now, you can fill in the blank for Samaritan. Let's erase Samaritan. And I want you to think about the person that drives you the most crazy right now. And I want you to put their name in there. Everybody but Joe, Alicia, okay? Do not put Joe in there. Just teasing. That person that you can't stand, God wants to make whole. And you won't be whole until you want that person to be whole. Your faith has made you whole. So what's the difference here? And I know I got crazy preaching and I love it. I'm going to keep doing it that way. But I want you to get a hold of this real quickly. I'm trying to close. When this happens, That word for whole, or in some instances in the Gospels, it says has saved you, is the Greek word sozo. It's what the word is. Sozo. And this is what that word means. To save. Keep safe and sound. To rescue from danger or destruction. You see, God doesn't want to just heal us. God doesn't want to just make us feel better. God just doesn't want just our bodies to function correctly and leave it at that. God doesn't want to just be connected to us spiritually and leave it at that. No. God doesn't want us to just feel good in our mind and feel good in our heart. No. God wants to save us and rescue us from destruction. He wants to transform our lives wholly, body, soul, and spirit, by giving us His shalom, or peace. And I've said this to you before, but I'm going to reiterate it to you right now, that God's peace is not just the absence of conflict in your life. It is the fact that now you are whole and complete. And it's like this. It's like when you're building a wall and every brick has been put in its place and it's finished. That is the picture you should have of shalom. And what that wall does is, when conflict comes, it's there to protect you from the evil one attacking you. It's not that you're not going to have attacks, but it's that you're so whole in Him and so built up in Him and so strong in Him and so covered by God that that thing will not move you. There's no gaps in your life. You're not discombobulated anymore. Your soul isn't floating over here while your spirit's floating over here, while your body's down here. But no, all of you has come together and is in functioning in harmony and unity because a man named Jesus showed up in your life and put you back together again. Wholeness. And we stop short so many times. Pastor Alicia, if you can come back to the piano. We stop short so many times. We're satisfied with a healing. We're satisfied with amended relationship. We're satisfied with getting something that we want to get. And God's saying, where did they go? Where did they go? Why didn't they come back? I did something for them and they never came back. Because we were satisfied with just one aspect of Him doing one thing for us, when the truth is He wanted to do everything for us. So as we begin to trek through this thought of wholeness, body, soul, and spirit, I need you to know this, that we're going to talk about them separately, but God never sees them separately. He sees them wholly. And through His holiness, H-O, not W-H, just H-O-L, that holiness surrounds us and makes us, W-H-O-L-E, whole in Him. It rescues us. And here's what's great. The moment that you receive Jesus and you get what we call saved, right? That is a pivotal moment in your life where transformation happens. But do you know that God's not done saving you? I mean, I drove over an hour away from my house this week and then drove back yesterday, Friday and then Saturday. We drove back, we went somewhere. I don't know how many times God saved me during that trip. Because I don't know what the enemy had in store. But this one thing I do know, because I'm wholly surrounded by His holiness, He's always saving me. He's always keeping me. Salvation is not just a past tense word, it's a present word. And so some of you, if you stand to your feet this morning, some of you have felt like damaged goods. Some of you have felt broken and you don't feel whole. People have labeled you, they've said things about you. And here's the thing. Sometimes you think about it and you go, well, that's true. Rightfully so to call me that. But God is telling you this morning, look, an event that happened in your life is not what defines you. Just because this happened or you once participated in this or you once had this as part of your life doesn't mean that's who you are. You see, it's not blind Bartimaeus. Matter of fact, his name isn't even Bartimaeus. He's got a new name written down in glory. Tits. It's not the woman with the issue of, isn't it funny? Because we don't have their real name. Well, we have Bartimaeus' real name, but we still call him blind. We don't have the lady who was healed of the flow of blood. We don't have her name. So we call her the woman with the issue of blood. No. She's the healed woman. She's the called of God. And she was made whole in that moment. She doesn't bear the shame. And even the Samaritan who was rejected by the Jewish people, when he comes back, he's made whole. And no longer is he labeled a leper anymore. And no longer is he labeled a Samaritan dog anymore. He is now labeled a child of God. And he identifies with the body of Christ, not with the outcasts. And what God's saying to you this morning, church, is some of you are still identifying yourself as who you used to be, and that's not who you are anymore. So, you know how we have the expression, shame on you? Well, God showed up today and said, no, I'm going to make you whole. So shame off of you. Shame's off of you. You don't carry that shame anymore. You don't carry that sickness anymore. You don't carry that label anymore. And we have to receive that with joy. And this is what I'm going to invite you to do, because I just feel like I'm getting weepy because of the goodness of God right now. I'm going to invite you. It's up to you. Will you respond and receive what God has for you? And will you be made whole today? Or will you be good enough with what you already got this morning? Well, I felt His presence. I had a Holy Ghost goosebump. Are you sure the air handler didn't just kick on and you felt the wind blowing? Let's be made whole this morning. Let's initiate the process where we let the Holy Spirit take a deep dive into who we are and heal anything that's even residual from our pasts and prepare us for our futures. Can we do that this morning? So it's on you. Jesus is standing and waiting. Will you respond to Him in your heart? You can come down to the altar and pray. You can lay on the floor. You can stand up here. You can stand at your seat. You can go in the back. You can do whatever you feel the Spirit of God leading you to do. But don't miss this moment where God makes you whole.
Under the blood, and His blood is higher than I.
Are you walking daily by the Savior's?